You're listening to the Spark Radio Network, internet radio like you've never heard before. Innovation, creativity, and imagination are all said to begin with a spark. So fasten your seatbelt and take the ride of your life and listen for the spark.
You are listening to KLRN Radio, where liberty and reason still reign.
Hey, this is John Preston, Marine combat veteran and Pacific Records recording artist. Just reaching out to have you check out our new album, Battle Cry, Songs of America's Heroes, an album featuring phenomenal other combat veteran artists like Scott Brown of the Scooter Brown Band, Ryan Weaver, Rowdy Johnson, just an incredible mix of people. This is all veterans telling our stories and our lives, and we're giving 100% of our proceeds to the Valkyrie Initiative to help veterans and first responders integrate back into society. I myself have battled with post-traumatic stress for many years and lost my own brother, a Marine Corps veteran, to suicide. I ask that you step with us and make this happen. We are in pre-order right now and release on March 17th. Go to iTunes, go to Amazon, buy. We plan on making the charts and making it at a very high level, and your support right now makes a difference. This is the release of my new song, Superman Falls, which is actually about the loss of my own brother, which happened last year, and I would love for everyone to check it out, to listen, and hopefully it'll make a difference in many lives.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-553-8687. That's 800-553-8687. Again, 800-553-8687.
This is Slickery Trigger for Rebel Road Tactical. With proper care and feeding, your pistol will be ready when you need it, there to save your life. Shouldn't your gear be that good? Whether you need a holster for comfortable everyday carry or a tough-as-nails holster for your next training course, Rebel Road Tactical has what you need. Check us out on the web at rebelroadtactical.com.
Sometimes riders feel lost, unsure why a passage may not be working. It takes another set of eyes to help us nurture our riding into full maturity. At Black Wolf Editorial Services, we strive to enable riders to develop and grow, offering manuscript critiques and line edits through a mentoring editorial style. We also offer assistance on generating a writer's bio for your websites. Black Wolf Editorial Services, nurturing your writing into maturity. For a full list of services, visit blackwolfeditorial.com.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
Get your free inventor's information. Call 1-800-353-6490. That's 1-800-353-6490. Again, 1-800-353-6490.
KLRN Radio has advertising rates available. We have rates to fit almost any budget. Contact us at advertising@klrnradio.com.
Hey, this is John Preston, Marine Combat Veteran and Pacific Records recording artist. I just reaching out to have you check out our new album, Battle Cry, Songs of America's Heroes, an album featuring phenomenal other combat veteran artists like Scott Brown of the Scooter Brown Band, Ryan Weaver, Rowdy Johnson, just an incredible mix of people. This is all veterans telling our stories and our lives, and we're giving 100% of our proceeds to the Valkyrie Initiative to help veterans and first responders integrate back into society. I myself have battled with post-traumatic stress for many years and lost my own brother, a Marine Corps veteran, to suicide. I ask that you step with us and make this happen. We are in pre-order right now and release on March 17th. Go to iTunes, go to Amazon, buy. We plan on making the charts and making it at a very high level, and your support right now makes a difference. This is the release of my new song, Superman Falls, which is actually about the loss of my own brother, which happened last year, and I would love for everyone to check it out, to listen, and hopefully it'll make a difference in many lives.
Oh, let me tell you something. I am so sick of Washington and all its works, all them politicians down there and them congressmen. I'll bet you won't find none of them congressmen signing down their electric blankets tonight. Which if they did, their secretaries would get up and go home.
We gotta do something.
Absolutely.
You know what we gotta do?
Toga party.
Toga! Toga!
Toga! Toga! Toga! Toga! Toga! Toga! Toga! Toga! Toga!
I want you to kill every golfer on the course.
Check me if I'm wrong, Sandy, but if I kill all the golfers, they're going to lock me up and throw away the key.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's been a couple of weeks since we've been here on Friday night on Robinson Wright, or at least me, because last week we did a special America Off the Rails because my co-host was off at a beer fest, and before that I was fighting tornadoes. So, yay, fun times. All right, so it is the first Friday in June, which means this is toga optional night. No, I'm just playing. Please keep the togas on. All right, good evening, Mr. Dan. How are you, sir? Oh, by the way, it's somebody's birthday.
Yes.
I thought about my birthday. I thought about trying to bust.
I'm still not 50, damn it.
That's not what she said. Oh, never mind. So I thought about trying to bust out with the whole happy birthday, Mr. President thing in honor of, like, Rainbow Doritos Day, but I figured that might offend people, so yeah. Anyway, so happy birthday. Hope you've had a great day. And it's Friday, and there's so much to talk about, we couldn't decide on a title. So the title for tonight is titles. We don't need no stinking titles. So, because, yeah, there's crazy news everywhere. So, yay, fun times. How are you?
I'm good. I mean, I had a rough day at work, but that's expected. And other than that, the typical birthday, you know, everybody on Facebook telling me happy birthday and you feel like you have to respond to them. And I do want to respond to them. But, you know, I pretty much celebrated last weekend and I'll celebrate tomorrow night.
Yeah, I would say you celebrated last weekend. I was jealous, but yeah. So I didn't actually.
Good time. A green in the middle of the town with 40 specialty breweries there with 3 to 4 beers each.
Very, very nice. So the funny thing is, I never knew about things like that until I started hanging out with Stacy, because she talks about it every year. I didn't find out that we actually have one of those local to here that is done like 3 weeks before you guys is. So I think I'm going to the one here next year, so at least I can participate from afar, so to speak, even if it is a few weeks earlier.
It's fantastic. I mean, you go with friends, you get a 3-ounce glass. Each brewery has washout stations. I mean, they've got distilled water there. You rinse your glass out, and you can sample all the beer you want. I mean, and live music playing and great food. And yeah, we had a fantastic time. I will definitely be there again next year.
Well, yeah, I'm glad you had fun. I figured it must be a good time because, like I said, Stacy, the couple years, well, I guess I've known her now for about, I guess we're going on year number three. So she's never complained about going there and always said it was a really great time. So I'm glad you had fun.
No, we went up Thursday night and Friday night. It's Nashville, North Carolina, and the main business in Nashville, North Carolina is beer. There's a brewery on every corner. So Thursday and Friday night, we just did brewery crawls. You just start at one brewery and you go until you're done drinking beer. And you try to finish up at a brewery that has good food. So you drink your last beer, you eat some food, you go home, go to bed, and get up the next morning and do what we did and build your own Bloody Mary bar.
Nice. Not a huge fan of Bloody Marys myself, not being a fan of most tomato products other than ketchup, so I wouldn't have partaken, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was cool. But with the festivities of last weekend behind us, wow, what a week.
See, that's why you did all the beer drinking last weekend, was to cope with all the crazy crap from this week. See, you planned ahead. I didn't. I need more beer.
Between the president being beheaded and Hillary literally blaming everything on the face of the earth except for herself for losing the election. Yeah, it's been a week.
Yeah, it was the whole thing about this week. It's like Monday, the news cycle got up in the morning and said, "Hey, hold my beer." And Tuesday was like, "Hey, you thought you were bad here. Watch this. Hey, hold my beer." And like, it was just like this recurring theme all week where it's just like the news cycle had to one up one another. And there's just so much to talk about. We can't fit it all into an hour show, but we're going to try.
Speed round.
Speed round. Kathy Griffin just lost her last venue. Yay!
it's amazing to me that she could go in front of the press today and try to turn it all around that she's the victim.
Well, you know, here's the thing. This is only coming from somebody that's just now starting to finally cross the threshold and maybe start doing this as a legitimate money-making type thing. I have some issues with boycotting, but not if it's somebody that's already been doing something like this for forever and has made tons of money and is just being stupid. Because by now, it doesn't really matter what happens to her, because you know she's got money in the bank somewhere. And she shouldn't have done what she did, much less should she have not done what she did and then come out with this lame apology that was like, "Oh, I'm so sorry, but I'm mainly just sorry because you're mad and I'm trying to save my career, never mind the fact that I actually might have offended some people or maybe terrorized an 11-year-old boy who thought his father was actually beheaded on TV. You know, never mind any of that because, hey, this is funny, right?" And nobody was laughing. I mean, literally, she should have just been like, "Hey, this is funny," and just done this. Because this is what happened. She said, "Hey, this is funny, right?" And everybody's like, and we're like, "Ew, it's not funny at all. You're a dumbass. What did you do?" I mean, come on. Dude, and what drives me crazy... Well, go ahead.
So that's the thing, is, yes, she quote-unquote apologized. Was there anything in that apology towards the first family? No. I understand, Kathy, by the video you posted, I understand you hate them. I get that. But you know what? The people most offended and horrified by that are the people you went in front of the media today and called, I can't say what she calls them. I mean, those are the people that you needed to apologize to. Instead, you just played CYA and said, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. No, that's really not an apology. It's not an apology to the people that you really affected by it. It's not.
Well, I mean...
It's not an apology.
Well, it was less of an apology and more of a, I'm trying to make sure that I don't finish ruining my already pathetic career. Because that's what she referenced three times in this apology. Is, you know, I've crossed the line before in my career. I will probably do it again, but I'm so sorry. And I was like, you know what? Just shut up. Just shut up. Because look,
no, you probably won't cross the line in your career because it as you stand right now, your career is over.
Well, we can.
That's the way I see it.
We can only hope, but we shall see. But yeah, going back to the press conference today, I was on the fence with the press conference today because I think she got played. I think this was more about giving the person that was supposed to be standing next to her in support more of a world stage than it was giving it to Kathy Griffin. So I was just kind of, the little bit that I got to see of it, I was just kind of like, oh, someone else is trying to siphon off a few moments of fame from your stupidity and you fell for it. But yeah, what do I know?
I just, watching her, I saw a meme on Facebook today with her picture next to Chuck Schumer's picture, and it says something along the lines of, ooh, looks like you had a crying coach.
And probably, sadly, she did.
Nothing looks genuine to me anymore, and that's kind of sad. That's kind of where we're at. I don't know what's genuine and what isn't anymore.
Well, I mean,
it's people like her are the reason.
Well, I mean, in some ways, you could say the left kind of feels the same way because they were, as soon as the whole story came out about Barron Trump, they were like, "Oh my God, this is so fake. He's 11. There's no way he fell for this," and we all seem to be becoming jaded in our own ways. But I think my least favorite reaction, well, actually, I guess I had two. My least favorite reaction to all of this were folks with blue check marks, like Rosie and like Ken Jennings, attacking an 11-year-old boy on Open Timeline on Twitter because it made them feel better about themselves.
Well, yeah, and I can't think of his first name now. But his name is Hall, and he was a managing type writer editor for Fandango. Oh, they axed him today.
Oh, I forgot about that part because I saw Stacy's tweet about, you know, I was gonna do this and now I'm not because you guys suck, and I'm like, oh cool.
Well, yeah, no, they axed him today. He's gone.
Well, they probably had to.
Job. And that's not I mean, I'm partially with you on the boycott thing, but you know, the left has been doing it forever. And now it's biting them. You know, we can go back to last weekend with the whole Wonder Woman premiere thing and Alamo doing that whole promotion where not only are we going to do a showing that's only women allowed or, in quotes, people who identify as a woman, and we will only have women working, and Stephen Miller from Red State bought a ticket. And The left went insane. They actually said that his doing that is almost rape. And you know what he said? You know what? You all made the laws. You all wanted the laws. I bought the ticket. I'm going. So I'm guessing he's there tonight. The one man in the all women showing of Wonder Woman. But they wanted the laws. The laws are in place. Everything Alamo did, especially in New York City, was totally against the law, and it was laws that the left wanted in place. So-called anti-discrimination laws. He almost destroyed Twitter last weekend by doing that.
I know. I remember. I was watching the madness. I was watching the frothing and I was watching the frothing and the foaming. It was funny to watch them because they were like, "Oh my God, I can't believe that you're gonna be." And he's like, "Hey, it's a ticket. I'm gonna go watch a movie. What's the big deal?" And they're just like, "Oh my God." I'm like, dude, I swear, just, it, I mean, literally, and trust me, this is me reading it on Twitter, but I swear, when I read it, that was what was running through my head, was just a little screechy, the most annoying voice possible, just screeching at the top of their lungs, and I'm just like, these people are unhinged, this all started last week, and then we fed into the news cycle for this week, and it just all built to a crescendo, because they're beside themselves right now. Because they're
Oh, yeah, and what one of the guys that was really going at Stephen Miller really hard, I mean, I just posted to him. I just said, "Bake me a cake." Bake me a cake. Four words. I mean, I'm a little teeny tiny Twitter account. I have like 180 retweets on that.
You had 180 retweets off of that?
Because everybody sees. Everybody understands what's going on. And the left has been trying to social engineer the entire country, and it's backfiring on them now. Because when they want to do something, we're taking their rules and we're using them against them. And they're like, "No, those rules only apply to you, not us." That's what they're doing. We wanted those rules for you. Those rules do not apply to us. That is literally what they're saying.
Well, I mean, it's the same thing they always say. Do as I say, not as I do, and nothing is my fault, so don't blame me. Speaking of which, before we go to break, because believe it or not, we're already coming up on... Well, no, I guess we got a little bit later start than usual, so we got about 4 minutes left, but we should be able to sneak this in. Speaking of nothing is ever my fault, Miss Hillary Clinton is back in the news, and you'll never guess what's happened. She is still, to this day, saying it's not her fault that she lost. She's still, I swear, she's like in some sort of perpetual Groundhog Day scenario where she's the only one where it hasn't moved past November 9th. Because everybody else, life has moved on. She's still sitting here going, "It's not my fault. We had the perfect plan. If it wasn't for these pesky Russians." And now it's so bad because she's been doing it for so long that now even CNN is making fun of her. Yes. CNN was on the air yesterday and today, actually making fun of the fact that Hillary Clinton will not shut up about the fact that she lost and it's not her fault. That's when you know you're losing your audience. When the folks that have been pulling you through this thing, basically with your hover around and all for the last 3 years, have finally said, "Look, lady, just sit down, shut up, and go away." Then you know it's time to stop.
Here's a short list. This is the short list. This is the ones that really caught my eye. Number one was when she called her email scandal, the email scandal nothing burger. Okay? Fake news. Russians/WikiLeaks, the New York Times, Washington Post, Facebook, the DNC. Those are the ones out of the list that I saw of about 30 different things that are the reason why she lost the election. Facebook. She blames Facebook for losing the election. She blames her own party. The only ones that did anything for losing the election. She did nothing. She called it in. And now she's going to blame her party for losing the election. It's insane. She's insane.
Okay.
It makes me feel much better about the president we have.
Yeah, okay, so let's take this one point at a time. Her blaming Facebook. First of all, she's a million years old. She probably doesn't even know how Facebook works. So I'm not surprised she would blame it for her losing an election because she probably... Yeah, anyway. As far as everything else... How can she blame the party if it wasn't for the fact that they kept throwing all the superdelegates at her? She would have lost to Bernie. Or came really close to, even closer to losing to Bernie. It would have definitely been a much closer race. I still would have honestly liked to have seen Uncle Speedo versus Donald Trump in a debate. That would have been fun, I think. The crazy, unhinged, penny-pinching Jew versus the crazy, unhinged... throw money everywhere billionaire on a debate stage would have been amazing. We really should have made that happen. I'm just saying.
Yeah, that would have been good. And, you know, like,
I mean, at least I wouldn't
to
have...
To listen to her blame, you know, also the Washington Post and the New York Times, which were literally 99.9% in with her, and she blames the 0.1% of articles that were not with her from each one of those news sources as being the reason she lost. When a news source is in the bag for you, and for the most part, other than maybe op-eds, totally supporting you, and you blame them that you lost, there's a problem there.
Yeah, and let's not forget, op-eds are usually farmed out to bigger names to try to bring in readership for the paper. So those were things that were basically outsourced and not necessarily from anybody that was actually being paid by the paper to do the work. Anybody that was getting money from the paper was rooting for Hillary, pulling for Hillary. I mean, look, like we've been talking about for this entire segment, she had everything she needed to win the day, as far as she was concerned. Let's not forget, some of the leaked emails actually purported that they wanted it to be Donald Trump because they knew they could beat him. And the thing about those of us that were opposed to Trump from most of, well, actually all the way up until, for me, all the way up until the day that he won the primary, or not the primary, but the general, was the fact that I was pretty sure she was going to be able to beat him too, because he just seemed like such an unstable candidate. But now I'm starting to understand just how unstable she is, because she still is going on and on and on and on. And, you know, I'm sorry, but when CNN tells you to sit down and shut up, it's time to sit down and shut up.
I saw a post today, and I know you saw the hashtag that was going around, you know, more reasons why Hillary didn't win. I saw one today that said, Chicago voters only voted twice.
Yo, yeah, I saw that. Oh.
I mean, it's just, she's ridiculous. She's throwing herself under the bus. And she doesn't realize it.
Yeah, well, lucky for us, the wheels on the bus don't just go round, round, round. They go squish, squish, squish. So hopefully she'll keep throwing herself under the bus. On that note, we have got to take a really quick break. And I just realized I didn't load a bumper yet. So, hey, I guess we're not doing that quite yet after all. I knew there was something I forgot to load a moment ago. Yay. And it's not. Where'd it go? And the problem is we keep adding new stuff in here, so every time I know where something is, it gets moved just enough to make it annoying. Where did it go?
Here's and just think, I get to start doing this soon for myself. And
well,
you know what you're doing.
Well, normally I have it prepped out much, much better than this, so I wouldn't necessarily say that tonight I know what I'm doing. And here we go. I finally found it. All right. So now, us attempting to take a break. Version 2. We'll be back in about 4 minutes. Don't go away. Everything is changing.
Hey, this is John Preston, Marine Combat Veteran and Pacific Records recording artist. Hi, just reaching out to have you check out our new album, Battle Cry, Songs of America's Heroes, an album featuring phenomenal other combat veteran artists like Scott Brown of the Scooter Brown Band, Ryan Weaver, Rowdy Johnson, just an incredible mix of people. This is all veterans telling our stories and our lives, and we're giving 100% of our proceeds to the Valkyrie Initiative to help veterans and first responders integrate back into society. I myself have battled with post-traumatic stress for many years and lost my own brother, a Marine Corps veteran, to suicide. I ask that you step with us and make this happen. We are in pre-order right now and release on March 17th. Go to iTunes, go to Amazon, buy. We plan on making the charts and making it at a very high level, and your support right now makes a difference. This is the release of my new song, Superman Falls, which is actually about the loss of my own brother, which happened last year, and I would love for everyone to check it out, to listen, and hopefully it'll make a difference in many lives.
The following message contains a special offer for listeners of this station. Are you a man over 40? Are you constantly looking for the nearest bathroom? Do you wake up multiple times a night to use the bathroom? Right now, Perfect Prostate is sending out free bottles of their groundbreaking new formula to listeners of this station. Perfect Prostate formula was developed by medical doctor Mitchell Fleischer, and its ingredients have been clinically studied to reduce your frequent nighttime bathroom visits and promote healthy urine flow. Right now, preferred customers get their first bottle of Perfect Prostate absolutely free. There's nothing to lose. Perfect Prostate is guaranteed to reduce that constant urge to use the bathroom, especially at night, and promote healthy urine flow. Don't wait. Call now for your free bottle. Just pay shipping and processing. Dial 1-800-675-0251. That's 1-800-675-0251. Supplies are limited. One free bottle per household. Call now. Dial 1-800-675-0251. That's 1-800-675-0251.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-516-7602 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-516-7602 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-516-7602. That's 1-800-516-7602. Again, 1-800-516-7602.
Every day, the men and women of the United States Marine Corps stand ready to defend the American way of life. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Hey folks, I want to introduce you to a friend of mine, Dr. Richard Harden. We are on the same mission, which is waking up America. We just have different paths. So stay tuned for some information on how you can keep up with Richard and all his work.
Visit Richard's website at raharden.com. That's the World Wide Web at raharden.com. At his website, you can see a summary of the 6 books he has written, where purchases may be made. He also has a link to 18 videos on YouTube and several blogs about Christian beliefs. If you prefer, visit amazon.com/Kindle and type in Richard Harden to see and purchase his books.
All writers are prone to becoming so attached to our characters and stories that we struggle to see why a passage may not be working. It takes another set of eyes to help us nurture our writing to full maturity. At Black Wolf Editorial Services, we strive to enable writers to develop and grow, shaping stories into masterpieces that can stand the test of time. Editing services are provided for all genres and all age categories. Services range from the critique of the short story through to line edits on full-length novels. We also offer assistance on generating writers' bios for your websites. We won't abandon you to the masses. We want to celebrate with you and your successes. Black Wolf Editorial Services, nurturing your writing into maturity. For a full list of services and prices, visit us at blackwolfeditorial.com.
All right, folks, welcome back. Well, we've talked about most of the liberal links so far this week. The Kathy Griffin scandal, and everybody on the left is mad because nobody on the right got upset when people were hanging Obama in effigy. Really? Because I'm on the right, and I told people to knock it off because they were being morons. So please go back and check again. And then it was, it's not Hillary's fault, it was the Russians. And then we have the fact that, you know, there's more. I feel like we're on one of those infomercials where it's like, but wait, there's more. Because now we have the president who has pissed off the entire world. And I, for one, would like to give him a standing ovation for pissing off the entire world by removing us from the Paris Accords because they were a sham. Okay, so give me just about a minute or so, and then I'll turn the mic back over to you. I want to say something that I said on last night's episode of America Off the Rails, but I want to say it here, too. Pretty much every progressive ideology is nothing but a way to redistribute wealth. This climate change scenario is no different. The climate change accords in Paris are no different. Case in point, there was a tweet put out by the Pepsi. This, Dan and I were talking about this off air. I've given up caffeine, so every once in a while I have a neuron that misfires. Anyway, I honestly literally cannot think of their name right now. Okay, never mind. You can have the mic. I'm dead over here.
Well, no, I'll go to the person that just drives me freaking insane is Leonardo DiCaprio, who flies around and goes to these climate change events in chartered jets. And I'm not talking about just like a Learjet. I'm talking about chartering like an Embraer and flying from California to France or to wherever he's going, or flying to get onto his 120-foot or 150-foot yacht to go somewhere, and he is going to sit there and say that Donald Trump just destroyed the world by getting out of this deal that was us paying, get this, us, you and me, the taxpayers, paying $15 trillion to help other countries figure out how to get their stuff under control while putting more regulations on us. China doesn't have to do anything under this deal until 2030, 14 years. And some of that $15 trillion will go to China. And this man who has a compound that is the size of a freaking automotive plant with two little solar panels on the roof and multiple yachts and chartered jets is going to tell us and we need to pay for it, and we all need to drive hybrids. You know what? Leonardo DiCaprio can bite me. He has a bigger carbon footprint than 99.9999999% of the world. And I include in that 99.99999% some actual countries. Sorry, there's my rant on Leonardo DiCaprio.
That's all right. You gave my caffeine-starved neurons time to catch back up. So I was talking about... actually, maybe I lied again. What the hell? Okay. So anyway, since I do know one other thing I wanted to talk about, maybe I can give them a chance to catch up again. So Al Gore, supposedly, you know, everybody credits him as the father of the modern climate change movement, not to mention apparently the creator of the interwebs, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. The interesting thing about Mr. Al Gore is he's another one of these ones with a huge palatial estate. And the father of climate change, who keeps telling all of us that are poor that we need to cut back on things and we need to, you know, turn the thermostat up a few degrees, put on a sweater instead, turn it up a few degrees in the summer, put on a pair of shorts, turn it down a few degrees in the winter, wear a sweater, a la Jimmy Carter, doesn't have a single solar panel anywhere on his property, but he has like a 6,000 square foot roof. Imagine all the power he could be generating. Not to mention the fact that
let everybody let that sink in. 6,000 square foot roof, not house. Roof.
Yeah. And not to mention the fact that he flies everywhere in a jet, you know, while he's telling us that we should be driving little bitty cracker boxes.
Yeah, it's do as I say, not as I do.
And then we have the tweet from ACLU, I guess because climate change only, I guess rain only happens in Harlem. Because somehow by pulling us out of the Paris Accords, we have made things harder in low-income areas because weather and stuff. I don't have the exact tweet in front of me, and I meant to grab it before the show, but it literally started talking about issues with social injustices that we're going to be faced in lower-income areas because of us removing ourselves from the Paris Climate Accords. It sounds to me like the ACLU actually just kind of admitted that they understand that this is all about redistribution of wealth, not necessarily saving the planet.
Bingo. It's insane. I mean, $15 trillion of our money. Literally, this quote-unquote agreement that our former president made was for the United States to take a whole bunch of money and pass it out around the world, and that's going to fix the climate problem somehow.
Oh, dude, you just painted
And at the same time, put more restrictions on us while companies like China can keep spewing whatever they want to spew into the atmosphere.
You just gave me a mental picture that is probably going to get me branded a racist, but I'm going to say it anyway. As soon as you said former president running around throwing out money, I pictured Obama on the second club of the balcony screaming, "I'm going to make it rain!" Oh, sorry.
He did make it rain. He tried. Well, he didn't because our current president said, nah. He did. He tried to make it rain. He did. He tried to take your money, my money, everybody listening to us, all of their money, and give it to the rest of the world to fix what isn't wrong.
So let's
break. And you know why he did it?
Yeah.
You know why he did it? Legacy.
Yeah. Well. Which is another reason why the left is so mad. Now, I want to break this down for folks just in case they haven't really had a chance to take a look. At last count, there were 155 countries that were signed into this accord. and yet we were the ones that were going to be picking up a third of the tab. If you ask a leftist why it is that we're going to be picking up almost 33% of the overall funding for this thing annually, it's because, well, we're still the largest polluter on the planet, and even if we're not now, we were before, so we should still be paying more. No, that's not how that works. We've already invested to clean up our own mess. Why do we have to invest to clean up everybody else's mess? China wants to clean up China's mess. Let China clean up their mess. We've seen how interested they are in cleaning up their mess. All they did was put a bunch of fans out there to make sure that the skylines look somewhat clear during the Beijing Olympics, because they don't give a damn. So why should we?
Right. China is by far the biggest polluter on Earth right now. Yeah, you're right. Big fans. They push the smog out to sea. I mean, what do we need to say or do to get it through the heads of progressives that we aren't the bad guys? You aren't the bad guy. You really aren't. We are the country that has actually been trying to solve a non-problem. We're the country that's been trying to solve a non-problem. I mean, they're talking about taxing cow farts in California now. Pretty soon we won't be able to get beef in certain states because they're going to, like, outlaw cows. But then how do they outlaw cows? Because, you know, PETA, what are they going to do with the cows? They paint themselves into a box every freaking time, and somehow, to be honest with you, somehow the Republicans go, oh, the poor Democrats painted themselves into a box. Let's give them an out. That's where we are.
Hang on just one second. But yeah, I mean, it's just, it's another one of these situations where, and, you know, hang on, let me see which one of them was that actually said that. We have some folks hanging out in the chat. And this one was from Al. He said, the Paris Agreement is another you've had it too good too long bit of logic from the left. And that's exactly what it is. But on another level, it's more sinister than that, because it isn't just about them trying to make us feel guilty anymore. This is about them realizing that the only way that they're going to get us to be where they want us to be so that they can bring about this one world government that everyone and almost everyone seems to be chasing anymore, because they tried to build up the rest of the world. That didn't work. So now they're actively trying to tear us down. And how do they keep doing it? They keep putting us in these deals where we keep having to put more and more of our hard-earned money off into other countries to help them clean up their messes. Nobody helped us clean up our mess. We did it on our own. Was there another country investing when we decided that we were going to make sure that people didn't have to wear gas masks walking through New York City and California? Because I don't remember any other countries coming to our rescue. We did it on our own. And we did it in some ways that are good and some ways that are bad. That's like the EPA. Everybody's panicking because it's being gutted. I'm glad it's being gutted because it's become a monster that doesn't even do half the things that it's supposed to do anymore because it's too worried about doing too many things that it shouldn't even be doing.
Oh, no. The most prominent thing the EPA has done in the last few years is completely and totally pollute a river. That's what they're known for. When you bring up the EPA, you think, huh, yeah, nice orange river in Colorado. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's
all ridiculousness.
Well, that's the thing. I think the left has forgotten about that already because I think we've kind of let them forget about it. But the interesting thing is half the time the EPA, when they go try to clean up a mess, half the time they make it worse. And, I mean, that's just case in point. And, I mean, that hasn't happened that often. But when it does happen, it's terrible. And it's worse than anything you and I could have ever done to the environment. When the people that are the ones that are trained to supposed to be making it all better are the ones that screw up and do something bad, then it blows up in everybody's faces. And that river was one of those times. And that's one of the first things that I said when that happened. I told everybody around that time, it is time for the EPA to be stopped because they have lost sight of what it is that they're supposed to be doing. I don't mind there being a government agency to make sure that there are minimum standards for air, water, everything else. But all of these other things that they are doing now are superfluous. They're in some cases dangerous. And it's just terrible that we have so many government agencies now that are so far outside of their purview. And nobody cares. Nobody wants to do anything about it. Because if they did, they'd actually be working to make changes. But the thing is, you have people tell you that send me to D.C. and I'll make changes, and then they get to D.C. and they don't make changes. So far, the only one... No, I was going to say, so far, the only one that I've seen that's been in there that's at least been trying to make changes is Trump. Some of them are good, some of them are bad, some of them don't happen, but at least he's trying to do something instead of just sitting back going, eh, we're stuck with the way things are, guys. We had it so good for so long, we've just got to get used to the way things are now.
Well, yeah, and, you know, we're talking about the EPA, and it takes me back to a show we did a couple months ago with J.D. Rucker, and I made a point. We were talking about the EPA, and I said, you know, what the EPA needs to be is, you know, an entity that comes in and takes care of things like Flint, Michigan. And J.D. Rucker made even a better point than me. He said, no, that's not what they're there for. They're there to make the regulations for clean air and clean water. It's Michigan's job to clean it up. It's not our job to clean it up. It's Michigan's job to clean it up. The EPA's job is only to sit there and go, no, look, you screwed up. You need to fix this. Why do my tax dollars as a resident of North Carolina need to go to fix a problem that, honestly, the Democrat-led government in Michigan let happen? It shouldn't. The federal government is so out of control, it's insane.
You just hate people, admit it.
Yes, I hate people. I hate them all.
Well, I'm playing the role of a leftist for a moment, because as soon as you said, my tax dollars shouldn't go to people in Flint, Michigan, because I'm not the one that messed up their water, I can hear them screeching, it's just because you hate everyone! No, it's just because we have...
I've been getting that for 2 days on a minimum wage debate. You just hate the guy that flips burgers for a living. He shouldn't be flipping burgers for a living.
No,
it's not a living.
It's not. It's not that we hate them. There's also a misconception with minimum wage, because every single liberal bleeding heart dumbass out there thinks that everywhere in the country minimum wage is $7.25 an hour. That's not true. Minimum wage in California is not $7.25 an hour. Minimum wage in Arizona is not $7.25 an hour. Minimum wage varies state by state based on the overall cost of living. So the idea that Burger Flipper Joe in New York City is making $7.25 an hour is asinine, because nobody makes $7.25 an hour in New York City unless you're an illegal alien.
That's right. And that's why here in North Carolina, say, I pay $2.10 for a Big Mac. If I want to go eat a Big Mac in New York City, it costs me $5.80, because that Burger Flipper is making more than the Burger Flipper in North Carolina.
Yeah, but not to mention the fact that they have all those extra taxes because, you know, you're eating things that aren't healthy, so they charge you more. I'm pretty sure they're doing that now.
But where the whole thing went, and what I said is, and I try to make them understand it, is the more you outrageously raise a national minimum wage, the more a company goes to automation. When I was 16 years old, or 15 years old, and worked at McDonald's, we had a grill. It was just a grill, and we had spatulas. And you put two spatulas, you put one in each hand, and you filled the grill with burgers. And once you got to the end filling with burgers, you went to the other end, and with two spatulas, you started flipping the burgers. The minimum wage got jacked. You know what McDonald's did? They invented the clamshell grill. Now, instead of having three or four guys on the grill, now you only have one. Because he puts all the meat down and puts the clamshell down, and it cooks both sides of the burger, and it cooks it twice as fast. And then he lifts the clamshell and he pulls them all off, and there, the burgers are all cooked. They don't see that. They don't see that. They don't see that every time you drastically raise the minimum wage, companies go, well, we can't afford that, so we're going to find a way to eliminate the jobs. And that's what they did.
And
so now you have people that could use those jobs like a student. They can't get them because the job isn't there anymore.
Which nobody seems to understand. That's really what those jobs were intended for anyway. Is not necessarily for people to earn a living, but for people to get a foot in the door. And that's another problem. We have an entire generation. We make fun of millennials all the time, but there are also a lot of issues with the generation before them and even some folks in our generation, because they have this idea that they get a job and they stay there and they do that job and they don't do anything else. They don't work on trying to make their skills better. They don't work on trying to move up or anything. They just want to stay put and expect to get raises every year to keep them doing the same work that they've been doing instead of trying to do things to make their own situation better on their own. And that's another problem. Because, I mean, I get it. Jobs are not the way they were before. We don't have the manufacturing that we have here anymore. We don't have the things that we used to have. But there are still, I mean, that's like, you know, I have a brother-in-law who shall remain nameless, who has spent the last 8 years working in fast food. And he's mad at me all the time because he sees what I have and what I've worked to get, and he's not there yet. And he doesn't understand, well, one of the reasons why he's not there yet is because he's never moved away from fast food. He's never taken the customer service skills that he's learned from fast food and tried to move them in another direction. Because, look, I don't care what job you're doing. Don't let anybody ever tell you that your first job is not customer service, because somebody somewhere that you're dealing with is your customer. So you are always going to have to deal with customer service. You can take your customer service skills that you've learned from McDonald's, because even if you start out as the burger cook, you're eventually going to work front counter, which is going to teach you customer service skills, and you can use those to get on another job that depends more on your customer service skills and less on your physical abilities, and you make more money. That's what a lot of us have done over the years. I've had like five career changes in my lifetime. I never in a million years thought I would be doing what I'm doing now. I thought I would hate it when I started it. Turns out I'm fairly good at it. It's not the best paying job in the world, but in between the money that I make and the money that my wife makes, we've managed to carve out a pretty good life. And it's because we've worked for it, not because anybody handed it to us.
Absolutely. And you know, I take it, you take it back to what I was talking about that got us on this subject. I said to this guy, I said, so you expect the guy that has no inclination to do anything but flip burgers, and if he wants to do it for 30 years, by the end of that 30 years, he should be making $40,000 a year. He said, yes. I said, how do you pay him? Where does the money come from? He said, you take it from the stockholders. They're greedy. All they want to do is make money. Yeah, that's why you invest in a company. And he doesn't get that. He's like, no, that guy is a slave. No, he's not a slave. He's made the choice to flip burgers for a life. That's his choice. He gets paid what a burger flipper gets paid. He doesn't deserve what I make, having gone through my whole career. He doesn't deserve that because he decided that he's going to flip burgers for 30 years. No, that's not right. They're making him a slave, and the stockholders are reaping the benefits. Well, that's why you invest. Well, that's not right. And that's when I told him to move to Venezuela And I told him there's plenty of food there.
Yeah, as long as you don't mind eating other people. But you know, but that's the liberal mindset, because never, I mean, look, how many stories have we seen where somebody has started at the bottom of a business, worked their way up, and eventually became at least some form of manager, or moved up to the point where they're involved in a big part of the corporate structure? That's what we're talking about here. The fry cook, the hamburger guys, those are not supposed to be where you stay. It's called an entry-level position for a reason. There used to be these things that we would picture. An entry-level position was kind of like the first rung on a ladder. Your job when you got into the career sector was to find the ladder and start climbing up. Nobody climbs up anymore. They'll climb up a rung or two, and then they have all these people that are trying to come up behind them, and it starts turning into a bottleneck because there's nowhere for them to go. Because we have all of these people, and then they're like coming around the other side of the ladder and climbing up the other side to get past these people, and it just creates a mess. And that's one of the reasons why I always like the description of it being a ladder, because when you have people that are just not willing to do anything to make their own lives better and expect the government to do it all for them, all that does is create a logjam. And we have so many logjams today, because I've heard this I don't know how many times from even people that I know and that I care about that are mad because Donald Trump is talking about making changes to the food stamp program and doing this, that, and the other. They're like, do you know how many people work for a living and still use food stamps on a daily basis? Yes, I do, but that is a problem. If you are working for, if you and your spouse, if you have a spouse or you have a significant other that is living within your home and you are both working 40 hours a week and you still qualify for food stamps, one of you needs to figure out what skills you have that are marketable and go find a better job, because you're not making your life better where you are. You're waiting for the government to do it for you, and eventually the government is going to fail, because it's what they do. They fail.
That's right. That's why I spent the first 10 years of my youngest daughter or my oldest daughter's life kind of missing her growing up, because I did have one good job, but it wasn't enough, and I wanted my wife to stay home with her, so I worked two jobs. I've never taken any kind of assistance. And we've always been in a good house, a decent house, and we've always had food, and we've always had clothes. That's what you do. It's get off your butt and do it. That's what this country was built on, is get off your butt and do it. If you don't want to get off your butt and do it, then be happy with what you have. The end.
All right, so we're officially
not up.
Go ahead. Didn't mean to cut you off. You said the end.
I was just
going to
say it's not up to everybody else to take care of you.
Exactly.
That's not what this country was built on.
All right, so we are officially long, but I have one final thought when it comes to the liberal tears and the climate change scenario. I want to point something out to you, because Mr. Elon Musk, who just left one of the presidential advisory councils because he was mad because we left the Paris Accords, owns a G650. Which is a basically it's a Learjet. It burns 490 gallons of fuel per hour at cruising speed, and yet he is lecturing us about the size of our carbon footprint. 490 gallons of fuel per hour. I drive a 2011 Chevy Malibu that has a 17 gallon tank, and I have to fill it up twice a week. So I'm burning about 34 to 35 gallons a week. And this guy, anytime he takes his jet out, is burning 490 gallons of fuel per hour and wants to preach at me about how I'm supposed to make the climate better. Sell your jet. Step one. Problem solved. Grr.
No, don't sell your jet. Destroy it.
Oh, good point.
Because if somebody else can use it, they're doing the same thing.
Good point. I forgot. Besides, you know, capitalism is bad. It's evil. So we shouldn't sell anything. We should just anything that we don't need anymore, like private jets and huge cars, we should just destroy them. We should melt them. We can't melt them down, because then that would raise the ambient air temperature, and that would be bad. Not to mention the smoke. So I don't know. How would you destroy something without necessarily making the environment worse? What is an environmentally friendly way to destroy all these planes that all of these rich people that tell us that we're polluting things too much are burning hundreds of gallons of fuel in an hour? I'm just curious.
Well, I mean, I have a Chevy Silverado. And it has, and it's my office, you know. I basically have a mobile office. I pretty much work out of my truck. It gets about 18 to 19 miles per gallon. It's a full-size truck. A brand new half-ton Chevy Silverado right now, two-wheel drive, with a few little amenities in it, is approaching a $40,000 truck. Do you know why? Because you can have a big truck like that, and it gets 18 to 20 miles per gallon. That's why. We're paying for it already. We are paying for it already.
Oh, I know. Not to mention the fact that now they have all these size things that are with vehicles now where if it's above a certain weight, you have to pay some kind of a luxury tax for driving a big vehicle and blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. I mean, it's been a nightmare.
Oh, I have to, I have what's called weighted tags in North Carolina. Because I use my truck for work, my company has to pay an extra tax to have weighted tags. It's the same half-ton pickup truck that you just go buy off the lot. But since I use it for work and I put tools in it, I have to have weighted tags. And I don't get the two-year registration. I have to register every year.
Nice.
Yeah. Extra taxes. And that's my state. And you know what? I live with my state. At least it's not the Fed telling me that.
See, well, I think that's part of where the liberals seem to have fallen short on this idea. Because, you know, it's not so much that we really care about the taxings and all the other things that are going on. Because I do, at least at the federal level. But I think a lot of this stuff should have been and was originally reserved for the state level. So it's one of the things that I always said because everybody compared the Obamacare plan to the MassCare plan. MassCare was fine, and let me tell you why it was fine. Because it was something that was done within a state. A state has has its own constitutional authority and also federal authority to govern itself however it wishes. So if a state like Massachusetts decides they want social medicine, that's fine. That's dandy. They can have it if they want. That means if I don't want it, I don't have to move there. If a state like California wants to tax you like crazy, that's fine. That's great. They can do that because I don't have to move there. That's how this was supposed to work. That's why, and again, this all started shifting majorly after the Civil War because let's not forget, pre-Civil War, we've referred to the country in a very specific way. It was called these United States of America, indicating that we were coming together, yet each state was basically still separate but equal. After the Civil War, when everything became more of a federalized, centralized government, it became the United States of America, and the federal government became more centralized and has been heavier and heavier and heavier-handed every year since. But some of that was by design, because they needed the federal government to have more control. So that's when the federal government really started assuming taxation controls and all the other controls that they've assumed over the last 100 or so years was after the Civil War because it was the only way that they felt like they could keep things together and prevent another Civil War. But there were a lot of unintended consequences, and one of the biggest ones was this nightmare that we're looking at in D.C. today. And you can call it an unintended consequence at this point, but after everything I'm studying through and figuring out as I've done this more and more and started doing my own research, I'm wondering how much of it was intentional.
Oh, it was definitely intentional. It's been a slow turning over of the Constitution.
You know what? I just realized something, and I wish I would have thought about it earlier. You remember Leslie Hughes to do a show with Bill? She hit me up a couple weeks ago and said she wants to start getting back in the podcasting again. I keep meaning to send her an invite to come on. I guess since we have Bunny next week, maybe we should see if maybe she wants to come on the week after. She's been on fire on Facebook today over this whole Kathy Griffin thing. It's been kind of funny to watch. All right, but we are now officially...
I love Leslie. That would be great.
We are now officially 15 minutes into the next hour, and since we kind of decided to shorten the show a while back, we've run long. So, yeah, that's right. For anybody who just missed what I just said, we have PolitiBunny joining us next week, live for the entire hour. She's going to be promoting her new show, FUBAR, that's coming up right here on KLRNradio.com. I do believe she is beginning Wednesday, June 28th. Premiere episode will be 7 p.m. Eastern. That actually is probably going to be our premiere night for talk radio for the near future, because that puts her as the anchor, followed by G, followed by Jess, followed by Dan, followed by me. So that's like 5 hours of live back-to-back nonstop talk radio. That's pretty awesome, if you ask me, if I do say so myself, especially since it leads off with Sam, who is amazing. I love Sam.
Yeah. She is the one that got me interested in doing this. I mean, Sam and Stacy, you know, I listened to both of their shows consistently, and then I started listening to G and everybody else, and that's what got me interested in doing this. I'm very happy she's coming back.
Now, I have a confession to make, and I will actually mention this with her next week when she's here, too. I have to admit, Sam's show for me in the beginning was an acquired taste. I tried listening to her a few times before I knew who she was, and she just came off wrong. But what changed for me is when I started interacting with her on Twitter, and I realized why it was that she did things the way that she did them. And then I actually took the time to go back and listen again, and I have been a diehard fan ever since. I used to hang out in their chat rooms right before I would do my own shows back in the day, before we were all on the same station. And I'd be like, okay, gotta go, gotta do my own show now. And they'd be like, bye! But yeah, so...
Really, yeah, it's... I don't know. We could talk for a while on this, but the way she used social media, and I've tried to start figuring out a way to do the same thing, like with her top 10 douchebags of the week. She would do a show on Wednesday at about 3 o'clock Wednesday afternoon. She'd be like, okay, everybody, give me your nominations for the top 10 douchebags. And not only would it end up being a great segment on her show, it would end up being an awesome thread on social media. It would make me laugh every week. And she's just, yeah, I am glad she's coming back. It's a great show.
Speaking of Sam, and then we really do have to go, I just happened to be scrolling through my professional Facebook page, and I saw a post from a few days ago when she had actually gotten into a thread and was actually fighting with Smash Mouth on Twitter. That was,
yes, she was.
That was hilarious. I came across that and I was like, oh man.
She owned Smash Mouth on Twitter.
See, I'm not sure if they were actually fighting with her, if they were just kind of going along with it, because that their response when she had said, you know, that, well, I've always been a really big fan of yours, their response sounded like, reminded me of something I would have said, because they were just like, yeah, well, we've never really liked you. It was always kind of one-sided. I was like, oh my God, that sounds like me, because I'm such a smart ass. So I wasn't sure if they were, like, being serious or if they were just giving her a hard time. And I think it was mainly in fun, because they went on to talk about the fact that, you know, well, it's not our fault. We haven't been, because she was like, well, I have more followers than you. And everybody's like, yeah, like a lot more. And they're like, well, we haven't been doing Twitter that long. We're old. When we started this, we had pagers, not cell phones.
No, it was a funny thread, but she actually did kind of own them.
Oh, I know. I'm not denying that. I'm just saying I don't really know for sure if Smash.
It was a great thread.
It was fun.
I saw the same post on Facebook, and I was working like during that, and I saw the same post, and I even said something to her. I said, damn work. And I went back and I looked at the thread, and she's pretty sharp.
All right. So on that note, because I've said this like 20 million times now, we really do need to get off here, because I'm pretty sure somebody has to work tomorrow.
Hey, Rick, where can everybody find you on social media?
Oh, damn it. You beat me to it. Okay, so easiest way to follow along is actually on Twitter. You can do that at AOTR_host, or you can do it by following along with my professional Facebook page. Just search Rick Robinson. Look for the cartoon picture of the guy with the Time magazine cutout. That's yours truly. Or you can follow along with my main show's Facebook page, which is the America Off the Rails Facebook page. Or if you're old school, kind of like Smash Mouth back before they had cell phones, you can shoot me an email at rick@klrnradio.com.
And you can find me mostly on Twitter. And yes,
for now,
for shame. You can find me at Mad Feist, spelled wrong. It's MadFiest on Twitter. And you can find me on Facebook at Daniel, you can find me on Facebook. It's Daniel Wright. And my professional account is Dan Wright. And I haven't quite figured out how to get you to my professional account easier. There's lots of Dan Wrights. And if I give the actual handle, it doesn't really pull up. Either way, I'll figure that out. And hopefully, going back and forth with Twitter, you will be able to find me at Texas Special 1 again.
Can you, on my fifth
suspension on that account, something like that?
Yeah, and like hundreds of thousands of appeals. Can you add anything to that professional Facebook name, like maybe tie it to KLRN so people can do like Dan Wright KLRN? That would probably make it easier to pull it up.
Yeah, we need to figure that out.
Just a thought.
I've been told to use the @ because it actually has an @ on it. But when you search the ad, it doesn't come up.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
I'm very, very Facebook unknowledgeable. I'm not good with Facebook.
Unknowledgeable. Dan's made up word of the day on the way out of the show. Unknowledgeable.
Yes. Unknowledgeable.
We are out of here, folks. I want to thank everybody who tuned in live. Hope you guys have a great weekend. We'll be back with you before we know it. This is the Robinson and Wright Show. Take care.